extends the reading of the Lord. Please be seated.
All right. What an amazing story that is, isn't it? That was one of my favorites growing up as a kid. In Sunday school, we learned a song, Joshua Fought the Battle of Jericho, and we loved singing that song and marching around the tables and shouting. But they didn't fall down for us. And I guess that was a good thing. But today's sermon comes from Joshua chapter 6, and it's entitled, The Path to Victory. The Path to Victory. You know, as we begin a new year, we tend to reflect back on the year and take time to prioritize for the new year, to get ourselves organized and set up for success in the new year. Some of us find ways to be more efficient. Some of us try to find ways to be a little healthier. But we all are seeking a path to victory as we seek to enter this new year. Well, it's day two, right? How's it going for you? All right. Well, sounds like some of you are doing all right. I'm on a path to lose a few pounds myself. And praise God, this morning, 2 pounds down. Woo! I don't know if I believe the scale or not just yet, but I'll take it. I'll take it. Well, seeking a path to victory obviously is a good thing. It's something we do because we want to succeed at where we put our efforts. We all want to succeed in what matters to us. And so seeking a path for victory, having a plan for that, is important and good. Well, today we're going to look at the most important path to victory anyone can consider. And that is the path to victory for spiritual battles in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul by the Spirit said these things about the world that we live in. He said, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying to us that our life is full of spiritual battles. And if we forget that, and we lose perspective, one day we will be setting ourselves up for spiritual frustration and even defeat. Well, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here to help crystallize this a little better. One day, I woke up early and was working on this sermon. And I worked on it all day long, and I got to the end of the day, and I was extremely frustrated because I could not make anything out of all these notes that I had taken. I couldn't form all of these thoughts into a sermon that expressed God's truth to God's people in a way that required an appropriate response. Oh, I had lots of things worth saying, but I had nothing to say with them. And so I stopped and I searched my heart and I sought God's help. And suddenly it occurred to me, I didn't seek God's help that day. So here I was trying to write a sermon where one of the main points is how we are hopelessly defeated at fighting spiritual battles in our own strength. And here I was attempting to write that sermon in my own strength. Well, I'm glad it was hard to write that sermon that day. And I'm glad I couldn't do it in my own strength. Because through that challenge, God called me back to remind me that I cannot do this in my own strength because this is a spiritual war. What I'm engaging in here with this sermon is a spiritual battle. And I cannot find success in my own strength. Even if I were to put together a wonderful sounding message that you all enjoyed, if God's power isn't behind it, what are we doing? This is a spiritual battle. I need God to have success in this effort. And so this truth is one of the main lessons of the Battle of Jericho and what it's meant to teach God's people. and that God was teaching Israel that they cannot win the battle of Jericho or this war in Canaan in their own strength, because these are spiritual battles that they're engaging in. They're ones that cannot be won if the Lord is not with them. Jericho is just the first of many battles that Israel would face. But Jericho makes this point loud and clear right up front for them. And by taking God's people through this challenge, God also taught His people a second main lesson. And that is, He taught them the path to victory for these spiritual battles. He taught them the path for victory for these spiritual battles that He wants them to walk in as He leads them to battle after battle after battle. And that path is to believe God's promises and to obey God's commands. Believe God's promises and obey God's commands. That is the path of victory for spiritual battles that God is teaching His people through this battle in Jericho. So let us observe this path of victory, which was first taught to Joshua, who will then lead the children of Israel to follow after him. The first step on the path to victory for spiritual battles is believing God's promises. And God begins this important lesson by first building up Joshua's faith with a promise for him to believe. To see why God starts with giving Joshua a promise and how God's promise builds up Joshua's faith, we must first understand the situation that Joshua is facing. And we find this situation in chapter 6, verse 1. It says here, verse 1, "Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in." Now, if you were looking at the situation without the lens of faith, you know, through the eyes of an experienced military general like Joshua was, this is not a good situation. In fact, this is a disaster. No one has been able to get through the defenses of Jericho in Joshua's day. It's impenetrable for what they had access to. And Jericho, here it is, a fortified city, well stocked with food. They could afford to sit tight in their safe house and wait out Israel, who's sitting outside the walls. Well, on the other hand, Israel is sitting out there. They're out in the open. Enemies can come at any time from the surrounding cities, and Israel could very quickly find themselves surrounded. And time is not on their side. This was probably the worst case scenario Joshua could have had trying to take this city. But when we look at this situation with the lens of faith and see it for what it is, a spiritual battle, then, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself there. When we look at the spiritual battles in this life without the lens of faith, we will be discouraged in our own strength. Because we really are defeated. We really are defeated. The spiritual enemy does all that it can to discourage God's people by getting them to look at the spiritual battles of life without the lens of faith. Because that is one way that they can cause us to find defeat in our lives. That is one way that they can have an advantage on us. And that is why God begins this important lesson on this path to victory in spiritual battles by first giving Joshua a promise to build up his faith. Faith in God's promise provides the basis for seeing these spiritual battles through the eyes of faith, and also for depending on God to give us the victory. We see this in verse 2 where it says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and mighty men of valor.'" You see, God wants Joshua to see his situation with the eyes of faith. And so what God is saying to Joshua is this: though this battle may be the last thing you wanted to happen as far as physical battles go, this is exactly what I wanted to happen as far as spiritual battles go. You might want things to be easier so that you can win the battle in your own strength. But I want things to be harder so that I can show you that you can't win in your own strength without me. Do you see what I'm doing here in the spiritual battle, Joshua? God also wanted Joshua to depend on God to win the battle. And so he promised him these words. He says, I have given the city into your hand. I have given. That's in the perfect tense. This is referred by some as the prophetic tense or the consider it already done tone. And when that's coming from God, that's a pretty sure bet, you can say. And so God is saying to Joshua, though you can't win this battle in your own strength, I can. I can win this battle. Depend on me, and this battle is a guaranteed victory. And so with Joshua seeing his situation with the eyes of faith and depending on God to win the battle, Joshua is right where God wants him to be so that he can take the next step in the path to victory. And the second step on the path to victory for spiritual battles is obeying God's commands. Obeying God's commands. You see, the promise of victory that God gave Joshua actually calls Joshua to action to obtain that promise. And immediately following God's promise comes these words, you shall. You shall. You know, sometimes God commanded Israel to stand still and not do anything and watch God do all of the victory for them. Provide them complete victory without them having any part to play in it. And other times God had said, go and fight because I've given you the victory. And no matter which way God commands us, we are always required to obey God's command. Do we obey the command to do nothing and watch, or do we obey the command to fight? Either way, we are called to obey God's commands. And God provided clarity for what His will was for God's people to obey in this particular situation by giving them these commands, these famous commands of the strategy for victory over Jericho. God commanded them to march silently around the city one time for 6 days with the ark leading them. And then he said, I want you to march on the seventh day around the city seven times. And then on the seventh time, I want you all to give a shout and the walls will fall down and you can rush in to take the city. Oh, and by the way, don't take any of the spoils from this battle, even though there are many. Why did God give such strange instructions to His people? I mean, Joshua is an experienced military general. He knows what good strategy is. And this really doesn't look like a good strategy to take this city. But if the goal was simply to give Israel a military victory or to boost their confidence and their self-esteem for future battles, well, this is not really the way to do it. But if God is teaching His people that the path to victory in a spiritual battle is to believe God's promises and obey God's commands, then this is exactly how to do that. As the people circled the city in silence, they would be very well aware of how impossible this task was for them. As the people shouted and the walls fell down, it would reinforce the fact that the victory was not accomplished in their own strength. When they had the ark leading them in battle, it would reinforce to them who was truly leading them to victory and who was truly fighting on their behalf. And when they reserved the spoils for God alone, that would reinforce that all the glory and all the honor for this victory is for God and God alone. And so we see that God was teaching His people through this battle of Jericho the path to victory when engaging spiritual battles. The path is to believe God's promises and to obey God's commands. And the consequences for not following the path to victory were very real for these people. In fact, Israel receives a warning that they are not exempt from the curses of the covenant that they took if they failed to follow this path of victory. Verse 18 says, "Keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it." You know, just because Israel was God's chosen people doesn't mean that they will not face the curses of the covenant if they wander into faithlessness and disobedience. God is no respecter of persons when it comes to judging the world. And as the commander of the Lord's army made clear in chapter 5, God is not on Israel's side. Israel is on God's side. And if Israel wants to receive the promised land, they must continually walk in the path of victory for spiritual battles by believing in God's promises and obeying God's commands. Now, this path to victory for spiritual battles was not just a one-time thing for one group of people at one point in time. In fact, the path to victory for spiritual battles is true for everyone, at all places and at all times. The path of victory in spiritual battles is open to anyone who would seek to follow it. We find out about this in verse 17, where it says, "The city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the destruction, or to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent." Rahab, the harlot, a prostitute living in a city that is so wicked that God orders its wholesale destruction. Yet she was saved from the wrath of God because she too walked the path of victory. She too believed the promises of God. She expressed that God was giving Israel the land. She too obeyed God's command. She acted faithfully towards God's representatives by keeping them safe. And in doing so, Rahab aligned herself with God and His people. And she secured for herself and her family salvation from the wrath of God and secured the blessings of the covenant. And Rahab, as you know, was even made part of the line of King David and ultimately Christ Jesus, our Lord. What a testimony to God's grace and to the fact that the path of victory is true for everyone at all places and all times, even for us today. For as we started off saying at the beginning of this message, this life is full of spiritual battles. Every day, you and I engage in spiritual battles as we fight the spiritual forces that strive to keep us from believing God's promises and obeying God's commands. These battles take place in our minds, in our hearts, in our private lives, between us and our family and our friends, in our places at work, and even in our own church. These battles are real and they take place all the time. And it is true, you and I are not strong enough to engage these spiritual battles in our own strength. We must all recognize our constant dependence on God to fight for us in these spiritual battles. We're also thankful for God's grace to us, because there are times when we fail, do we not? And God has this wonderful promise for us when we fall and when we fail Him. He says if we confess our sins and return to Him, He will forgive us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. What a precious promise that He's given us. But even so, God has called us to pursue the path to victory in today's spiritual battles by believing God's promise, believing that Jesus will save you, that He has won the battle for you, that you can trust Him to give you the victory in this life. By obeying God's commands, as we follow after Jesus and His ways and all that He has taught us. As you pursue this, day by day, you will find yourself on the path to the ultimate spiritual victory that you will receive at the last judgment, according to the promise of God, as your loving Lord and Savior comes to you and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the life that I prepared for you." May we all be faithful to follow after this path of victory that God has given us day by day. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, You're so kind and gracious to us, even to share with us Your path of victory that You have made available to all who believe Your promises and obey Your commands. Lord, keep our hearts humble before You. Keep us recognizing our full dependence on You, knowing that only You have the power to give victory in the spiritual battles that we face in this world. Lord, give us boldness to never fear whatever this world may throw our way. And give us the words that we need to say to witness of You and Your salvation. And give us grace with those whom You have placed in our path that may need encouragement to continue following after You. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.